Case v. Claybrooks. Mr. Rayford. Or is it Ms. Rayford? Ms. Rayford? Sorry, I didn't.
May it please the Court. Sir Rayford on behalf of the appellate, Mr. Eldred C. Claybrooks. Mr. Claybrooks raises two issues on his appeal. He is challenging both his conspiracy conviction and his sentence. However, this morning I'd like to focus on Mr. Claybrooks' challenge to his sentence. The district court's calculation of the amount of cocaine attributable to Mr. Claybrooks for sentencing purposes was clear error. First, the district court failed to make a reasonable approximation of the amount of cocaine reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Claybrooks.
All she had to do was find was believe Atkins, right?
I'm sorry, Judge, I can't hear you.
If she credits Atkins' testimony, she gets up to 7 kilograms, right?
If the judge accepted Robert Atkins' testimony.
So why couldn't she do that?
Because during the sentencing hearing, the district court asserted that Robert Atkins' testimony was so indefinite that it failed to satisfy the preponderance of the evidence standard. Undoubtedly, she was making an observation on the reliability of Mr. Atkins' testimony. And during the sentencing phase, judges are only allowed to consider evidence that possesses sufficient indicia of reliability.
I thought that was in reference to his saying that there was 20 to 23 kilograms.
Exactly.
Yes, but I don't think she had expressed any doubt when he said, remember, the 3 kilograms, which I think is acknowledged, and then he says that there was a separate transaction or so the first is the customer, the white guy in Bloomingdale, he wanted to buy 3 or 4 kilos, and he told me about it, and I eventually gave him 3 or 4, or gave Claybrook 3 and 4 to take to the guy in Bloomingdale. Okay. And then later it says, was every time the defendant provided drugs to you, yes, kilos, cocaine, did those transactions take place more than once? Yes, maybe 3 or 4 times. So she added those 3 to the earlier 3 and to 1 more, and that gets to 7. I don't see where she expressed skepticism about this very specific testimony. The problem was when he says, well, 20 to 23 altogether, that seemed extremely vague. But this is concrete, and I don't see that she doubted the veracity of this testimony.
Even assuming, Arguendo, that the district court found Robert Atkins' testimony as to those 7 kilograms to be reliable, that testimony related to the total amount of kilograms that was involved in the conspiracy.
But
the
that district would court be failed enough. To I mean, make. I think you should go to the sentencing hearing, because she says on page 10 of that hearing, she starts out by saying Atkins' testimony about the 20 to 30 kilos is too indefinite, just as Judge Posner said. Then she talks for a little bit, and then she says, Mr. Claybrooks just disappeared. We've got him talking about a relationship that started dealing with 4.5-ounce quantities, but he never told us how many kilos a year were transferred. And then she has the part that worries me. So I think that, and then, you know, we've got 3 or 4 times he says that he thinks the defendant provided him with a kilo. We'd have to resolve every uncertainty in favor of Atkins' testimony and against the defendant, which I don't think is really appropriate. We're just guessing at the margins of this, and I don't think that's preponderance of the evidence. If she stopped there, then I think you might have a point, because that pulls 3 kilos out, takes us under the magic number of 5. But then she goes on, and she says, so I think we're pretty secure based on the testimony and going with the PSR, which is 5 to 15 kilograms. I think we're really insecure in going beyond that. So and she actually calls that the probation office's compromise between Atkins' estimate and the jury's finding, which is a little strange, too. So I'm not sure matching all of this up, what she's found, actually.
Yes, however, Robert Atkins' testimony formed the basis for the PSR's estimate. And so if Judge Schatchel decided that his testimony was too unreliable as to the 20 to 30 kilograms, the portion of his testimony describing the 20 to 30 kilograms on which the PSR was founded, she shouldn't have considered that portion of the PSR.
Well, you can believe some things that highly unreliable people like Mr. Atkins say, and other things you might think is just wild exaggeration. So if he's testifying about this particular transaction, it's at least possible. I mean, if she had said, I believe this part of Mr. Atkins' testimony and not the rest of it, that would be fine. That would be a credibility determination. But do you think it's okay for a district court judge just to give a range, to say, I think that you dealt in 5 to 15 kilograms?
No, Judge.
So you think it has to be a point?
Because the judge was required to make a reasonable approximation of the amount of cocaine reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Claybrooks as an alleged member of this conspiracy.
And suppose she says there's testimony all over the block, but I'm really satisfied that it's somewhere between 5 and 15.
No, ma'am, because district court judges are not required to make precise findings, but they are required to make reasonably approximate findings. In a 10-kilogram range...
I'm unclear whether your complaint is that Judge Schatchel was uncertain herself, or that Atkins' testimony was insufficient.
Mr. Claybrooks raises both of those as a challenge to his sentence. That, yes, Robert Atkins' testimony was insufficient.
Well, that I don't buy. That I don't understand. You have a drug dealer who says, you know, with respect to specific transactions, yes, I sold them 3 or 4 kilograms, or I give them. Then I think a judge is perfectly entitled to take that, to believe that, credit that. Course.
Yes, but even assuming, Arguendo, that you can accept Mr. Atkins' testimony as to those specific transactions, there was no inquiry as to whether that amount of cocaine was reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Claybrooks. Furthermore, the district court failed to follow this court's advice and precedent.
Claybrook was the purchaser of...
I'm sorry, Judge.
Claybrook received all of those kilograms. Whether it's the delivery boy or what, he received them all. Those 2, 3, or 4s.
Yes, but if it was two...
were carried by Claybrooks.
Exactly, but if it was 2, 3, or 4 kilograms, it would have still placed him under the 5-kilogram mark.
Three or four is what Atkins testified to.
So it was 1 plus 3 plus 3, which made 7. There was
right.
One transaction that was right. Clearly a 1.
Claybrook
is
involved in those.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Claybrook is involved in those transactions. So he knows about them.
Yes, he does know about them.
Okay. If you'd like to save rebuttal time, you can...
If there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Sure, that's fine. Ms. Stack?
May it please the Court, good morning. My name is Megan Stack, and I represent the government in this matter. The government respectfully requests that the defendant's sentence be affirmed because the district court did not clearly err in calculating his drug quantity.
So I have a couple of things for you, Ms. Stack, but the easiest one is the question whether we should hold this case for the Supreme Court's decision in Alain against the United States, which is the case in which the continuing validity of Harris is front and center, just argued 2 months ago. Or maybe 3 months ago, whatever, January 14th, because given everything Judge Schatchel said, it seems to me that had she had a different, had the rules about mandatory minimums been different, she might well have sentenced differently.
Your Honor, I think that's probably correct. She did seem to struggle a bit with the mandatory minimum, but recognized that she was...
struggle a bit. She said it's ridiculous. She made her views very clear.
But nonetheless, she recognized that she was bound to impose that sentence. And Your Honor is correct. If, depending on how a lien is decided, it's possible that the mandatory minimum would have been different in this case and would have been...
Well, it seems there'd have to be... Well, we'd have plain error. We'd have something similar to Palladino because the jury wasn't asked anything about the minimum.
Correct. Although I think under the Alleen world, the mandatory minimum would have been set by the jury's finding, and thus the mandatory minimum would have been 10 years. And so I think that's right, that in that case...
Yeah, she would have gone... I think it's clear she would have gone down.
I think that's correct, Your Honor. And unfortunately, the record doesn't indicate whether or not she would have... It doesn't specifically indicate whether or not she would have imposed a different sentence had the mandatory minimum been lower.
But one would at least ask her. I mean, I'm very troubled by this all over the block, you know, set of remarks she makes on pages 10 and 11 of this sentencing transcript, because she, at some point, it looks like she's adopting the PSR, which, of course, is fine if she does that. But then if she is discrediting Atkins' testimony altogether, and there's a sentence that looks like that, then the PSR is based on Atkins. It's a very unclear record.
Well, Your Honor, I think first it's clear that she adopted the PSR, and the PSR made a specific finding of 7 kilograms. And I think the way that Your Honors have parsed the sentencing transcript with defense counsel is exactly correct.
PSR accepts Atkins' testimony about the 6 to 7. The 3 or 4. It doesn't accept his 20 to 23 because its ceiling is the 15. Right?
The testimony is actually 20 to 30, Your Honor, but that's correct. The PSR cabined...
So both the probation service and Judge Gottschall are skeptical about the 20 to 23.
That may be an inference to be drawn, yes.
They seem to agree on the 3 to 4. That's how they get...
And I think, and remember, their relationship was multifaceted. In some instances, Atkins distributed kilograms of cocaine to the defendant, and that was where he had trouble estimating with precision. He said it was approximately 20 to 30 over 7 years.
But what are we to make of this comment that she makes? I actually think that the probation office's compromise between, it's as though they took 20 to 30 and divided it by 500, grams and come up with 7, you know, in between. And it's clear from other cases that that's not how you're supposed to find drug amount. You have to base it on evidence. And then this other sentence, we'd have to resolve every uncertainty in favor of Atkins' testimony. She doesn't say testimony about the 20 to 30. She just says Atkins' testimony and against the defendant, which I don't think is really appropriate. We're just guessing.
Right, but if you evaluate that comment in light of the entirety of the hearing, I think it's clear that her main hesitation is with the 20 to 30 testimony. And the PSR does not sort of pick a number out of thin air. It specifically identifies the basis for its finding. There
it's
are
just
7
that I don't
kilos.
Know where she credits that testimony. That's the problem.
Well, she adopts the findings of the PSR, and in doing so, she adopts its specific calculation.
Say, I believe that that's what the probation office tells me is correct.
And the probation office's finding was very specific and very detailed. We have 1 kilogram transaction from June.
And the probation office's report actually spelled out the June 14th transaction. The 1 kilo said it was supported by testimony as well as wire intercepts. And the 3 to 4 of cocaine to Atkins, it was also Atkins and wire intercepts. And then the three keys... That was his testimony in the proffer of a co-defendant.
Correct,
Ross,
Your Honor.
And that's how you get to the 7.
Correct, Your
even
Honor.
Though she's kind of wishy-washy in terms of the record. But do you think we should just hold this case, though? Because, you know, until the Supreme Court decides, wouldn't that be the best thing for us to do?
That's certainly one option, although obviously given the current pending precedent, the judge's findings of a mandatory minimum of 20 years were certainly in line with this court's precedent. And so, therefore, the sentence could be affirmed on current standing precedent.
I have to say, this 20-year sentence is absolutely preposterous. because this is a nobody, this guy, Claybrooks, which means that when he's taken out of circulation, someone else comes in. The supply of people at this level of drug dealing is, as a practical matter, infinite. So all we do by taking him out is we incur the expense, the taxpayer incurs the expense of harboring this guy for 20 years. Now, why the Justice Department is interested in this kind of prosecution, I don't understand. Leave this to the state. They give light sentences to these people. This has absolutely no impact on the drug trade, which flourishes undiminished by these proceedings.
Respectfully, Your Honor, the testimony at trial established that, from the government's perspective, Mr. Claybrooks was responsible for 20 to 30 kilograms of cocaine.
He's a nobody.
Given that 30 kilograms of cocaine is hundreds of thousands of user doses of cocaine, I just respectfully disagree, Your Honor.
He's a nobody. He is not a big drug dealer. He's Atkins' pal. Right?
He's Atkins' significant conspiratorial partner, we would allege, Your Honor.
You don't think an Atkins can find another significant conspiratorial partner?
Unfortunately, I think that's probably true. But that doesn't denigrate Mr. Claybrooks'
position. Of course, if you
think
about consequences rather than getting building a record of a huge number of convictions with savage sentences, you'd have a very different response. You'd say you're wasting your time. Well.
If there are no further questions, the government respectfully requests that the sentence be affirmed.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Fox. Ms. Rayford, anything further?
At Mr. Claybrooks' sentencing, the district court was presented with three possible estimates of the amount of cocaine to attribute to Mr. Claybrooks. The PSR recommended 7 kilograms, the jury recommended between 500 grams and 5 kilograms, and the government recommended between 20 to 30 grams. Ultimately, the district court made no finding, deciding instead to sentence Mr. Claybrooks.
No, she said that she agreed with the probation office.
Yes, the district court made no finding as to the amount of cocaine attributable to Mr. Claybrooks, instead deciding to sentence him on the basis of a 5-kilogram to 15-kilogram range.
Look, there's no need for a pinpoint. Once you're confident that it's more than 5, there's no need for anything else. So when she says she believes 5 to 15, she's saying, yeah, the probation service, there's uncertainty here. So they set a bottom level. 7 would certainly be a reasonable estimate. But the probation office, you know, lowered it a little, and then there's evidence that would permit a higher inference, so that's why how they construct a range. I don't see what's wrong with the judge saying, I can't do better than the probation service. I think this is reasonable. It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, but that's not required.
Yes, Judge.
What more do you want the judge to do?
Mr. Claybrooks would like the judge to actually make a finding of the...
She's saying that. She made a finding that the 5 to 15 is the best estimate of the quantity of drugs. If that's the best estimate in the record, and she agrees with it, what more is there to say?
If the district court was allowed to sentence Mr. Claybrooks on a 10-kilogram range, there is nothing to stop the next district court from sentencing a defendant on a 15 or a 20-kilogram range.
No.
Mr. Claybrooks is asking for precision.
That isn't true. Next case will have different evidence.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Were you appointed, Ms. Rayford? Were you appointed?
Yes, Judge.
Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Of course, we